And rounding out our discussions will be Lisa Gutierrez, a senior director from Cox Enterprises, and previously Cummins, Los Alamos, National Laboratory, and Procter & Gamble. Lisa has been named Diversity Influential by Hispanic Business Magazine. Welcome, Lisa. Rio Orvec with announcer Heather Thompson and our top subject matter expert speaker panel on the human resource episode of SME Showcase of Atlanta. Heather, can you enlighten us on our next subject matter expert, Lisa Gutierrez?
Indeed. As Senior Director of Diversity and Inclusion for Cox Enterprises, Lisa Gutierrez serves as a strategic thought partner to all the Cox divisions specifically in creating and implementing their diversity and inclusion strategies, developing practices and processes to attract and retain diverse talent, promoting inclusion throughout the organization, and leveraging diversity to deliver on the Cox commitment to people, community, customers, and vendors. In addition to launching her own consulting firm, LG Strategies, LLC, she served as the Executive Director of Global Diversity at Cummins Incorporated, where she led all global diversity and inclusion functions and strategies, including internal consulting, education, and communication for 50,000 employees in more than 50 countries. Under Gutierrez's leadership, Cummins was recognized by external organizations for its commitment to diversity, including earning a spot on Diversity Incorporated's top 50 list from 2007 to 2012, a 100% rating on the Corporate Equality Index from the Human Rights Campaign from 2006 to 2012, diversity best practices, and other global organizations focused on diversity, inclusion, and work environment issues. In 2011, Gutierrez was named as one of the diversity influentials by Hispanic Business Magazine. Before joining Cummins, Gutierrez worked for the University of California's Los Alamos National Laboratory, LANL. As Diversity Office Director, she had the opportunity to innovate a number of roles, including researching, developing, and advising leaders on key strategies and actions to improve and sustain morale, productivity, and career development. In addition, Gutierrez worked for Deloitte Consulting, where she inaugurated two positions as the Central Region Learning Director and Diversity Programs Director for the Americas. Gutierrez's background also includes more than 13 years at Procter & Gamble in a wide variety of assignments, encompassing both line and staff functional experience in five different industries. Gutierrez earned a BS degree in Marketing and Organizational Management from the University of Colorado at Boulder. A native of New Mexico, she devotes her free time to family, which includes her beagle, Cola, friendships, personal coaching, and lifelong learning. She has traveled extensively, both within the United States and abroad.
And we welcome Lisa today, also with in our gallery, Elizabeth Olmsted from Cox Enterprises. And Lisa, as we discussed before the show, HR is your game, diversity and inclusion is your fame. So beyond your bio, how can you explain what you do to others? Share your elevator pitch with us, if you would.
So first of all, thanks for inviting me to this dialogue. I've enjoyed listening to everybody else. I'm blessed to have a day job doing what I love, and for the first time having my dog's name mentioned on the radio makes me happy. So there you are. What I do really in a nutshell is connect the dots between phenomenal individuals, their different backgrounds, their amazing brains, their ideas, and figure out ways to leverage those ideas for an organization's overall mission or vision. If I could change my title, I'd actually rename myself the Senior Director of Gray, since, quite frankly, D&I work is really about the gray areas, and it's always about trying to find, you know, that connection or the and between things. So an example, when Michael spoke about data and analytics, it's really about how do you leverage data and analytics and still move the diversity strategy forward. I believe and know all people at all levels of an organization have so many great ideas, but they might not always have the opportunities to unleash their talents or those ideas. So with this positive assumption and intention, I try to find ways to help leaders, managers, and employees unleash those talents.
Well, Lisa, many times successful people rise above circumstances and form characters, and that affects what they do. So how did you get into this work?
It's kind of interesting, and when we were talking earlier, almost all of us kind of have a hybrid background. We started somewhere else and now ended up in this current day job. I started actually as sales and as a salesperson and had a sales background, and actually how I got into the D&I field was when I was at Procter & Gamble, they needed some diverse people to go tell other people what was going on in that culture. And I was the only Hispanic in sales at a certain point as a senior leader. But I was a young employee, and they kept bringing me in for diversity training. Now, I was being measured on sales quota. So the actual impact of that great D&I training, I actually went and staffed 6 training sessions, had a negative impact on my sales because I'd come back to the field, and I still had the same quota, but I had 12 less days to affect those sales. And it was at that point that I started wondering, what does that have to do with my sales, and is there a way to do this D&I thing differently? What also played a role in that was, at the time, for a number of years, I was the only woman. I was the only minority or person of an underrepresented background. I was the youngest. I was single. I had no children. And I was working with all men, mostly white males that were awesome, but they were married. They had partners that stayed at home. And a lot of it was we didn't know how to connect. What they did was they taught me that they trusted my sales results, and that led to conversations in other areas. So back in the day, remember sexual harassment training? They hated it, and they said, why do I have to go do that sexual harassment training? And then they'd come to me, and they'd go, you're a woman. Tell me why we have to do that. And I'd have to think about, how do I get them to want to do that? And so I'd ask them, I said, would you want your daughters to work in this environment right now, the way it is? And all of a sudden, they said, no. And then they went to the training. And it was later on that they started asking me for advice, how do we do this? You know, if my issue is developing sales in Hispanic markets, what does that mean, Lisa? So the root of this learning, though, ultimately was my father and my parents in New Mexico. And they put us in different schools, and they really taught us to excel in various contexts that were new to me or our family. I was the first person to get a college degree. So this ability to shift and adapt to different cultures, different people, prepared me for working in various companies, industries, businesses, and with people from all over the world. And that's when I fell in love with it.
Oh, thank you for that. Given your background, how has it influenced your approach to leading diversity and inclusion strategies in your previous experiences and now with Cox?
So this is why it's always intriguing talking about this topic, because even at this point in my career, people still say things like, what is diversity? So it's kind of fun. Similar to working in sales, what I really do is I look for the pattern or the rhythm of how people really, really do their work or want to do the work. And then I figure out ways to integrate D&I or diversity and inclusion into those business strategies. I found that that works much more successfully than trying to, make D&I as a standalone strategy. It's more sustainable. So an example is when I left my previous company, they're still getting awards based on the strategies, and they've not replaced me at that level, and that's really because a lot of the strategies have been integrated into other processes and systems. So for me, that's really a piece of the success. The rhythm of the company, so if you take my background, Procter & Gamble's rhythm was around consumer sales and marketing, so I had to put a lot of my strategies into that language. At Deloitte, the language around client service and consulting, you switch the language. When I worked at Los Alamos, that's an R&D kind of language, so it's working with 5,000 physicists that look at you and say, or PhDs that look at you and say, what's that D&I stuff anyway? At Cummins, their language is Six Sigma. So I had to build in D&I into an engineering and Six Sigma language. And then now at Cox, which I love, but we have five different organizations and subcultures, different companies like Cox Communications, like Cox Media Group, like Cox Automotive, and Cox Enterprises. So we've got 5 or 4 different cultures that we have to kind of think about. What does D&I mean? So for me, that sales background really helped me look at it, look at my customer, look at the context, and say, how do we really do it?
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. We've covered innovation in many areas of HR in today's show. So let's do this for diversity and inclusion. Lisa, what does innovation look like for HR and diversity and inclusion?
Okay, so this is going to be my favorite question because I'm going to give you some actual business examples, but sometimes people think I'm crazy, so hopefully I'm not. So what's innovative right now in the diversity and inclusion field, or this industry really, is quite frankly connecting it more tightly and more clearly to the business of a company or of an organization. So it's really starting with that thing. At Cox, a lot of our business is in communications. It's also in the automotive industry, but it's really leveraging a lot of data and analytics. So you have to think like that. It's also about, in Cox Communications, for example, it's around telecom, and it's around data and internet. So a lot of things we're thinking about is how does D&I ultimately help those components of the business? And you kind of start from there, and then you start asking yourself questions, what kind of people do I need? So using this definition of innovating within the D&I field, I've been innovating within this field simply by connecting diverse ideas and solutions and helping companies make money and reduce costs. And I've been doing it, again, I come back to that sales background, because I was thinking, how does this really help my sales, my day job? That connection for me has helped to move the discussion forward, so that D&I isn't just about that person or that diversity training. It's also about how to leverage that amazing person's brain for positive impact on products, on services, on clients, on customers, on communities and partners, as well as that individual themselves. I keep finding more individuals that say, like Nancy mentioned, her shark style kind of thing. There are people in organizations just saying, I've got an idea, how do I tell somebody about it? So for me, it's about the intersections. So let me give some specific examples. At P&G, one of our challenges back in the day with grocery stores was really, I was living in California at the time in that region, there was a growth of Asian grocery stores in Hispanic bodegas or Hispanic grocery stores. A lot of our business in the traditional stores, think of the Kroger's, was going down in some of these areas, and suddenly people are saying, how do we get that business? Well, by integrating some of the cultural learning on how to sell. So we taught salespeople how to go in and acknowledge the elder in an Asian grocery store. We actually increased sales in those areas. One of my favorites in terms of saving costs was Procter & Gamble was about to send out a Pringles, a forced communications kind of program, a marketing program. And it was in Spanish. When you translated it into English, it basically said, get sick with Pringles. Hmm. We caught that before they sent it out. because by then they started leveraging our employee. We had an employee resource group. So that by preventing that from going out, it's actually saved the company $2 million. That led to the marketing people wanting to leverage this employee resource group called the Western Multicultural Resource at the time. So it was a great example of leveraging employees, right, because they were from Cuba. They were from Puerto Rico, they were from Mexico, they were from the United States like I am, but they had different ways and different terminology. At Cox Automotive, one of my favorite examples recently is, so if you don't know what we do with Manheim, we actually help dealers sell cars and maneuver cars in the dealer space. We leveraged a new business called Go Auto Exchange, which it looks at helping smaller dealers that maybe don't have big dealerships to sell cars at between the $5,000 and $7,000 level. That's in Arizona. The leader there realized he needed a leader that spoke Spanish and Farsi, because a lot of small dealers are Iranian or from Persian background and also Hispanic background. He had to find somebody that could do that. And so I'm thinking, Spanish and Farsi, how interesting. But it created a new line of business for us. And then at Kelley Blue Book, I'll share this. They really are leveraging the hackathon idea, but they've done that a couple years in a row, and they've taken all 400 employees or so in California, and they allow them to really look at any process, any product, any service, break it, and they're actually implementing about 11 of those ideas every year, or they did it for the first year. So for me, it's a great idea of seeing people, seeing their ideas, and then applying them to the business of what you're doing in a day job.
Oh, thank you for that. Lisa, now let's get to the needle question. What do you think should be measured in your field? And how do you know when you've moved the needle in diversity and inclusion?
So this is interesting, because when you say the word diversity, traditionally and historically, most people automatically think about representation and counting heads, if you will. How many women do we have? How many people of this background, of this demographic? But I think about measuring not only in that way, which is counting heads, but in also how do you make heads count, or how do you really measure that productivity or measure brain space, if you will. And I keep thinking about this quote from Einstein. He said, not everything that can be counted counts. And not everything that counts can be counted. So an example is you can feel when people respect you, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But can you prove it?
No.
You can't, right? So it's those kinds of things. So what's innovative right now is in terms of this field is measuring productivity and measuring return on investment similar to other business results. So it's thinking about, like what Nancy said, if you're, you know, normally you'd be measuring how many people do you recruit in, is that automated system helping us bring in bunches of resumes? What she's also building in is the productivity cost of transitioning people or letting people go if they're not a fit, right? You probably have to pay, exit things, if you will, like, you know what I'm talking about, which is helping them. What do you call
sure.
that? You know that when they leave and you're giving them some funds to kind of move to their next
severance out.
Severance, when you go to severance. So there's cost to those kinds of things.
Sure.
So a lot of what we're doing now is really a ways. Another example is measuring the number of people you connect with and across how many levels. So an example might be is you might be a senior leader, but you might naturally spend most of your day working with other senior leaders. You could measure the amount of connections you're making to talk with people at different levels. So one of the things is diversify your go-to group. If your go-to are those top four people to check your ideas, what would happen if you went and talked to the front line? A vice president of manufacturing in a previous organization, I asked him this, and his natural rhythm was to go top down. You go talk to his leaders below him and then whatever. He reversed it and went and talked to the front line employees first and found out some different perspectives from them and then still talked to the leaders. So that's another way to move it. Another one is really thinking about measuring ideas and measuring the impact of those ideas. So an example is in every place, and at Cox I found 8 instances, solid instances with leaders that are leveraging diversity and are actually saving money or bringing in new lines of business beyond the one I mentioned with Cox Automotive. And that's real dollars. You can see that in bringing in a new emerging piece of business. So the last thing I just want to say is that I know that move the needle when employees and products really mirror the communities and when the employee chatter is there. So you'll hear it. A lot of times, one of the measures I had in another organization was you need less recruiters because employees are recruiting for you. And then another thing is proactively. One of the things I was thinking about when Michael mentioned the data analytics, for me, another measure is when other organizations proactively come towards you. And so at Cox, we have an organization, the IT organization, is actually funding a predictive and data analytics project for D&I.
Interesting.
To really think about how to visualize D&I. And they're doing it with their own budget, their own money. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
That's success right there.
That means they believe it.
Yeah, and that they're willing to think differently about how do you provide information and data to HR people as they're thinking about integrating diversity strategies into their work.
All right. Well, that was very interesting. In conclusion, one last question, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners that are HR professionals?
Yeah, when I think about it, the biggest thing I've seen in my years doing this is there's a fear of doing D&I work because people think they need to be actually an expert in it. And the irony is that if people really, most people know how to do business strategy in their you know, function or whatever. So what I try and do is make D&I, integrate D&I into that way of doing business. So make it a business strategy, not just necessarily a people strategy. So think about that. And then this is from my UK friends. They say, give it a go. Give it a go. Just give it a go. Start working on it just like you would with any other strategy and be flexible. The other recommendation I made, and we talked about this earlier with the other panelists, was know your industry and get to know all the businesses. Again, Cox has different businesses. So for me, well, within my first 3 months, I went and visited a Mannheim auto auction because I couldn't even visualize what that looked like. It was totally foreign to me from my background. In 9 hours, watching how people maneuvered, no safety incidents. They were so customer-focused. Everybody was having fun. I was talking to customers, and I said, why do you like this? They go, it's great. I get to see my friends. I get to network. But I learned more about a core component of Cox's business, which are auto auctions, in that 9 hours by going to the auction rather than reading about it or staying in my office. And I think that's a challenge for HR folks. Sometimes we stay in our office too much, and we try to impose strategies that may not flow in the business because you don't understand the business. And then lastly, I'd say see if someone already has your idea and might be working on them or working on pieces of it rather than assuming that yours is so fresh and brand new. So I'm always collaborating and networking, and that's why you find people that are doing pieces of D&I work, but they don't think they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lisa, thank you. Muchas gracias for your help with a great viewpoint on diversity and inclusion perspective. We are honored to have you here today. Lisa Gutierrez, may we have your summary thoughts, please?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I think at the end of the day, diversity already is. Differences already exist. What's innovative and humbles me on a daily basis is trying to figure out how to do my work in a changing context, and everybody's talked about that. So, like, what I recommend is that, like any other business strategy, think about it, plan for it, and then execute it. Give it a go. Leverage your experiences from previous strategies and mirror that pattern. An example was when I was at my previous organization, I asked the CEO, I said, give me an example of a strategy that you started from A to Z and you consider it, you know, one of the most successful strategies. He said it was, they had a tough time almost going out of business 1 year, and Six Sigma switched it, and it switched it within 5 years. And I said, when would you consider it like it's, you know, the cake is baked, it's frosted? He said, 8 years. I used that pattern for my D&I strategy there and just followed the Six Sigma pattern and used the same kind of components that he used to drive that globally among 50,000 people in 50 countries. So that was faster than what people typically think about D&I. It's going to take you 30 years, it's going to take you 40 years. Well, I'm just saying give it a go, because the next, after those 8 years, there's going to be another 8 years that's different. And at Cox, for example, we're going to be expanding. We're looking to expand. So that's going to be something that's going to be really exciting, but it also adds a layer of interest to how you do your business strategies. So give it a go.
All righty. Thank you very much, Lisa. Ladies and gentlemen, and all your thought-provoking points and efforts to prepare for this talk is greatly appreciated. It has been great to have you in our studio today, and that brings us to our close of the Human Resources episode, addressing the topic of innovation and change in processes, with stimulating and illuminating discussion points presented by our thought leaders, Lisa Gutierrez from Cox Enterprises,